Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 104. I want to thank everybody for dropping by, seeing us. We're here live on Facebook and YouTube right now, and you guys can listen to us on our podcast, which if you guys follow the links at the very bottom of the show information, you will see the links to all of our shows here at the Heroes Asylum Network. And we want to thank everybody for, like I said, downloading and subscribing. Kane, man, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing awesome. I finally got to actually see you this weekend, other than the video.
Yeah. I was going to see everybody at the Winchester yesterday. Good times, behind by all. It's good to get out once in a while to, you know, clean the cobwebs and actually see people, touch them.
That's right. So yeah, we did go out last night, and we got to go out last night and hang out with a friend of both of ours, but really a friend of yours and somebody you're doing a new show with that's part of our network.
It's called Low Blows and Chair Shots. We have done two episodes talk about the world of professional wrestling, so check it out. Two episodes, and we're future hosts or co-hosts will be coming. I just talked to another friend of ours, and he's probably going to start recording with us, not this Friday, but next coming Friday.
Awesome.
So he'll be there, and who knows who'll pop in. So.
Very good. We also, if you guys are interested in checking out Low Blows and Chair Shots, there is a link down at the bottom that'll take you straight to their feed. But if you don't want to go to that feed, they are on Spotify right now. They are also on Google Play. Eventually, they will be out on iTunes and Stitcher and other locations. But for right now, you guys can follow the link down there if you are interested.
Yeah, check it out, man. It's really fun stuff. So if you like wrestling, you would like this show. Trust me.
Yep. I enjoyed the first couple episodes. There were a few times I was yelling at him. Like, man, I was like, I need to yell. I need to get on there somehow and just like just get my voice out there.
Well, if you want to come on, let me know. I'll schedule in there.
Yeah, busy, man. Because not only that, we've also got your other show, Midnight Movies, which we're dropping Hancock this week. So we did a watch along for the Will Smith Hancock. It's not a known like superhero movie, but it was a superhero movie. It wasn't based off of anything, you know, from Marvel, DC, or Image or anything like that. So.
No. And I thought it was, but it's not. It's its own separate thing. It's original idea. I guess Will Smith and his buddies came up with it. So. Yeah, it's a really fun time. We always have a fun time recording him and having some fun. So check it out when it does drop this week.
Perfect. And guess what, man? We had a big drop also last week, because that's what we're going to talk about, guys. We're going to talk about everything that came up last week on the news. And a trailer dropped that I know we just did on the Midnight Movies, just talking about that. We did a movie watch-along for Mortal Kombat, the 1995 a version. They just released last week, they being Warner Brothers and HBO Max, they just dropped a full trailer for Mortal Kombat, the new series that they're coming out, or the new movie that they're coming out with. So what we're gonna do actually, to start us off, we're going to go ahead and do a watch along real quick for the trailer. Kane and I can talk about it, see what you guys think, if you know, hear our opinions about it. So let me go ahead and bring that up for us. And here we go.
First learned about this 7 years ago on a mission in Brazil to capture a wanted fugitive.
Ooh.
When we got there, it tore through our unit in seconds.
And that's the accurate way Jackson loses his arms.
Exactly. Yeah,
they
exactly
finally got that right.
When they got to that point, and they got Sub-Zero correct in just that one scene compared to, like I said, the movie that we watched.
Because the movie we watched was kind of, you know, let's be honest, it was kind of cheesy for its time, but still the best Mortal Kombat iteration we got.
For its time, it was the best. Now it's cheesy, I think, is how how it should be put in. Yeah, at the time, and we were all blown away. You know, it was amazing.
Now you look at this. I mean, they just like literally the first minute of this trailer, you see that they've actually made Sub-Zero into, you know, what he's supposed to be, just a frightening human being. I mean, he could turn you to ice and just destroy body parts. That's what he's supposed to be. So it's fun that we're actually seeing, you know, the OG Sub-Zero, as I would say.
Yeah. And again, like a proper, you know, introduction.
And Jax. Yes, a proper intro for Jax. Yes. He has to lose his arms, I think.
The target has superhuman abilities. the same marking you do, Cole.
Okay, this is where I had the issue right now.
Yeah, this is where a lot of folks said, yeah.
I don't know why this couldn't have just been Johnny Cage. Because I don't know who Cole Howard is. Yeah. I mean, I guess they just made him for the film. Like, he's supposed to be, you know, the audience presence. But I don't know. You still got to win me on that one. I mean,
there is a fan theory going on right now that he is Johnny Cage. Maybe because he doesn't know about, like, as we're going on, you'll find out he doesn't know where that thing came. It's a birthmark. He doesn't know much about his past. Mm. I have a feeling that is Johnny Cage. And like I said, there's a bunch of fan references to saying that this is probably what it's going to be. Because you think, you know, his name, Cole, kind of go, you know, with the C. I just, there's something about it. I think this is going to be one of those. This is going to be one of those swerves.
A bait and switch, a swerves, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the best way of doing it, you know. You want to introduce, you want to have a focal point to it. Last time we had Liu Kang was the focal point. This time we're going to focus on Johnny and everybody else is going to be around. And I think that or Cole right now. But like I said, it's a lot of fan theories are going around that this is actually Johnny Cage.
Mm.
And my whole thing about the concept that these birthmarks are around, it's like that's a very strange birthmark. That one, that's another throw off. I was like, what? Okay. Yeah, if that's why, how you're going to go, that's cool. You know,
have that shit removed.
Yeah.
It's a birthmark.
What do you mean?
He was born with it.
It's not a birthmark, Cole. Means you've been chosen.
Throughout history, different cultures all over the world reference a great tournament of champions.
How big this is.
That dragon marking?
Yeah, much bigger world.
I think it's an invitation to fight for something.
That's the origin of a scorpion right there. Look at that.
Oof.
As Mortal Kombat.
That scene right there reminds me of a movie. It came out, I'm going to say mid-2000s. It was a very underrated movie, and they never made a sequel to it. It was called Ninja Assassin. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it.
Yes, yeah, I have, yeah.
Very, like, the beginning of that movie, like, literally the first 2 minutes of it. Because ninjas can be sometimes kind of hokey the way they made them in other films. But Ninja Assassin was, like, straight, like, they made ninjas fearful again. Like, you know, these guys are killers.
Yeah.
Hiding in shadows and murdering you with, like, these nunchucks and throwing stars and everything. You know, it was a really good film, and that little scene right there, they had something like that similar in Ninja Assassin. So I wonder if somebody who watched it got a little bit of influence on that.
Well, I'm sure you got to realize, I mean, the influence for not just the writers, the producers, the martial artists that are on set, they all grew up with the same stuff in martial arts that we did. You know, they grew up with American Ninja. They grew up, I'm going to hurt you on a deep cut on this one. They grew up with the Master. The television series.
Ooh,
I mean, that's, you know, we back in the 70s and the 80s, your martial arts was all over the place, and the 80s really went heavy into the ninja mythology. I mean, I even had a ninja outfit when I was, you know, 12. I think I saved my money.
I think I had one too. Yeah.
You know, so in our generation and a few, you know, before that, or a little after that, I meant, is, you know, there was this love of, you know, the martial arts, and again, that's where the fanfare and, you know, everybody came and loved these games because that's something we grew up with. I mean, even G.I. Joe, you had Storm Shadow, you had Snake Eyes, you had the clans, and so there was always a big influence for us in our generation. So yeah, especially growing up, enjoying like these martial arts kind of movies. So I'm sure they're paying heavy homage. They tried to do that in their time, you know, in the 95 movie, they tried to do it, but I think they had another master that they had to appease at that time.
Yeah,
this time, I think there's the you know, Hollywood's loosened up a little bit and are able to do a little bit more. And they have some great actors that are in here doing it. So,
yeah.
But let's see the rest of this.
These are your champions.
I'm Sonya. That's Kano.
I'm Liu Kang.
Thanks, Jax.
Boom. La.
The fate of Boss Intro now hangs.
No matter how many of my people you put in the ground,
oh man,
we will not fail. Kill them.
A little shot of the Emperor there.
Now, there was a fan, like on Twitter, like a group going that character that we just saw there with the flames, That's from Street Fighter. Because if you look at his costume, I can't remember the name of the character in the costume in Street Fighter. He had a white shirt on, red belt, and a red bandana, and he had fire. He shot blue flames though out of his hand in Street Fighter.
That's not Liu Kang?
I don't know if that's Liu Kang. That doesn't look like the actor that we just saw in the introduction. But some of them are like, hey, you know, that would be kind of cool if they, like, at least, you know, dropped in a Street Fighter reference.
That'd be dope. I wouldn't mind that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if Alyssa Milano's going to show up in the movie. This fight here. Here we go. That. That's it right there. That's. He stabs you. Freezes your blood and stabs you.
Yeah, this is the fight we wanted from the first one. We didn't want Sub-Zero and Scorpion to be these mindless drones. Yeah.
I was like, what? That was one of the things that I was pissed off about in that film. I was like, wait, they're mindless drones?
Yeah.
But no, this one, we're getting, look at that. Look at the background, too. You're not getting it in our world. You're getting it in the real world. Yeah. That's like some kind of like warehouse that they've just taken over and just fighting there. I like the real world fighting. Like, you're fighting in real world situations. I kind of dig that.
And I'm happy that we're not seeing, you know, I know they tried to do it in Scorpion in the original one where the spear thing came out of his hand. I'm glad they're not trying to do that.
Thank you for not doing that. They're trying to keep, they're grounding it.
They could have done it and gotten away with it now. Back then it was just
I won't have no issue, but I like that they're keeping this grounded. Yeah. Look at the costumes, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you noticed they're not superiorly bright and yellow?
Yeah,
they're there, but they're very muted. So I like that too.
And I like the Scorpion's not just a mirror image of Sub-Zero too. Which I like that they let, you know, allowed him a little difference. I think in 4 or 5, or one of the later Mortal Kombat's, I think they allowed them a little difference. I think in the third one, Sub-Zero lost his helmet, his mask.
Yeah.
So I like that.
You fucking beauty.
I love it. Freaking fatalities and all.
Yeah, all the fatalities right there at the end. And I mean, just anybody that grew up Mortal Kombat is, you know, they're just going to love the heck
out of it. I'm stoked. That. It's like one of those films that I didn't need, but I'm glad I'm getting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when they announced it, I think they announced it last year. It wasn't like something that we heard in the rumor mills or anything. It was just, hey, we're doing a Mortal Kombat movie. You're like, oh, okay.
All right, yeah.
Sure, I'll take it. I wasn't like... needing
I wasn't
it.
Asking for it,
and everything they see. So yeah, it will be HBO Max, and it will be out in the theater. So it's going to do the combo that HBO has been doing recently. So April 16th. So a late birthday present for me, but I will take it.
I think we'll have to go to the theater for that one.
Yeah. Maybe. So I'm going to send out our spoiler warning. Oh, that's the wrong button. Sorry, guys. I'm on the wrong pad.
It's okay.
I was supposed to be something else. Yeah, but we're going to do spoilers here, guys, because we're going to talk about the latest WandaVision. So if anybody has not seen it, these are heavy spoilers. We're definitely going to talk. We're going to talk about some of the plot twists. If I don't know how you could avoid it unless you just didn't get on Twitter, Facebook, or anything like that. But we're going to kick around some of the theories that are coming up right now. And so we basically start off WandaVision as they're now into the 2000s. They have a very reminiscent – actually, the show opening is reminiscent to a show that was done, I think, by Jon Favreau a few years back, where the opening cuts and are set up like to where like the name of this town or whatever it was how WandaVision –
I forgot the name of that.
Yeah, I remember. I was like, I read up on it. I was like, oh, okay. Because they've always – you can always call out and go, okay, that was, you know, that was this. That was Leave it to Beaver. This was – you know, you could definitely say, you know, Malcolm in the Middle was the episode beforehand. But this go-around, they were doing – they did this. And they spent a lot of time in the what really was the big thing in the 2000s and in the 2010s was
Modern Family, right?
Well, no, not Modern Family, Office Space, Parks and Rec. You really want to go back to the original Talking Head. Max Headroom really started that phase.
That's
off.
True, yeah.
Actually, everybody's going, oh, Modern Family. I'm like, no, The Office started that way. Office came out 5 years before Modern Family. They were doing the Talking Head way before they were. Mm. So, you know, if you want the originator, I think for that time frame, I'm sure there's others that did it. Those are the three I can think of off the top of my head. Modern Family, The Office, and Parks and Rec. And, of course, Parks and Rec and The Office were pretty much kind of ran by the same group.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same stuff that was going on. So, but I did like the vibe. I like the whole I don't know what they call it. I guess the kind of like the front face shot where they're talking to the audience.
That's the Talking Head. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. That it's them talking to the audience, breaking what they said. The title of it was Breaking the Fourth Wall. The Fourth Wall is interacting with the audience.
I like that when they did it with Vision. I think the Vision one was hysterical. Like, you could expect it from the other ones, but like just seeing Android with his legs crossed in a chair, he's like, man, I don't know what's going on here with me. Like, I'm like, that's awesome.
So we get to see a lot of changes that have happened. We now see, you know, the Westview, and we now see that, you know, all the military guys are now in the circus. We see them running around and doing different things. We now see that Darcy did end up being there, and she ended up being chained to one of the Jeeps that turned into a clown mobile. And we now get to see a lot more interaction with her and Vision, and she is really the one that's giving him exposition about what his life has been, what happened to him, you know, what he remembers and why he doesn't remember, and kind of does a throwback to Age of Ultron, I think, when Bruce Banner was talking to Vision, and he's like, "Well, you're not more. You're not just the Soul Stone. You're more parts of that." You know, you are Ultron. You are Jarvis. You're parts of Tony. You're parts of me. You're parts of a bigger thing. So it's not just him. So it's just having to piece together everything that's happened to him up to that point. Like, he starts remembering. We hear him start remembering about, oh, I remember doing this. And then, of course, you know, Darcy's the one that, no, Wanda killed you first. And then, you know, came back. And then he brought you, you know, he explains the end of Infinity, you know, Infinity Wars.
Yeah.
So she kind of helps him. And of course, in turn, he helps her before this. He gives her back her memory, which is great because he was able to do that. Because if you remember the one guy in his office, he tried to do that and the guy almost went fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah, he went insane.
Yeah.
So that was a good moment in that also. I like Kat Dennings. I don't want to see her as a mindless clown drone.
No, yeah, that's exactly what we did not get. So that was something I was happy to see. And of course, then we get caught up with Monica and Jimmy Woo and talking about, you know, who they were getting. And of course, the internet last week went nuts. I went nuts. You went nuts. We all were like, oh, it could be this, could be that. It was just some engineer she got to meet. Just an engineer.
Just a typical engineer. Yeah.
I mean,
people are mad about it. I was like, dude, they never promised you anything. No. I don't know why you're so mad about it.
Yeah, we fanboys all just went, oh, could it be this? Could it be that? Because guess what?
I think I would have been more shocked if it was Reed Richards.
Yeah. And now I did see some news just 2 days ago that they had said they are literally now just getting the writing staff together for the Fantastic Four series.
It's so weird how that movie property, how, you know, the wait ended for that. I was like, oh God, you know, I hated it, never again. But they're not even filming anything. And people are like all about the Fantastic Four. Like, he's Reed in here. He's like the first fan. I was like, wow, you guys really want the Fantastic Four back, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of folks do. I'm on the fence with that because I just don't know if they can get it done right. I'm sure if anything, Marvel, this MCU can do it. I just think the Fantastic Four is really hard to get over. It's the family unit thing is kind of passé.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's going to be the big challenge is getting that over.
You got the Incredibles out there. That's the best.
An animated show. That's a little different than what you know. You're doing it live action. I think live action doesn't translate as well. So that's always been just my hang up. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing their attempt again and seeing if they can do it. If somebody can pull it off, if anybody can, it will be this group. You know, with Kevin in the lead, then it's dead. Yeah, so. with Kevin in the lead, if anybody can do it, it's going to be them. If they can't pull it off, then they need to take the Fantastic Four and just put them away.
Put them away forever.
Who was the other one that was the other theory that everybody was? It was Reed or it was somebody else.
I said Hank Pym.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were the one going.
I was the Hank Pym one. I was big on him. That's what I thought. Like, well, he's not doing much now. A little cameo. He shows up. There's your Ant-Man, and you know. But I didn't see anybody else besides those two.
But you got to realize we're just weeks after the Endgame. You got to realize we're not years past. It's like, oh, he's got nothing to do. No, he's just recovering from, you know, Endgame and the snap. So yeah, there's a lot going on there. He's so it's
thank not, you for calling it the snap, by the way, not the stupid blip. Ugh.
That's what we called it when they first came out. I'm sorry, I'm gonna keep on.
I just want to know who has the nerve to call it the blip. That's one of the stupidest names.
The writers. So guess what? That's what it is. Dumb. Technically,
oh my god, just call it the snap.
Technically, that's what it's called. We as fans shouldn't change something because the writers wrote it that way. You know. Yeah, it's like in literature, you know, if an author writes something, that's what it's called. I just got done reading the first book of the Malazan series. And when you read the name, it's Malazan, Malazan. There's so many different things. And I had to go and find the author of what does he call it? How does he pronounce it? And that way I could read it how the author wanted it, because you want to do what the author wants. And again, unfortunately, the blip is a silly name. But the snap was something we as fans created. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, when it comes to that, we don't do all controlling.
No, we're not all controlling, son.
So then we see the engineer come around and she gives her this massive moon space jeep, whatever you want to call it. Again, another this one really got to me when I because I've heard the rumors of all the hexes. The hexagon shape in the show.
They're everywhere.
I didn't realize how much until I saw the jeep, and I'm like, oh damn, there's another hexagon. Okay, they're really
they're laying the hexagons everywhere, man, everywhere.
So then we see, you know, Monica tries to break through, you know, just ramming this thing, and it's just forcing back. It's pushing her out. Nobody's coming in. Nothing's, you know, nothing's going to come in. So Monica just jumps out and decides she's going to run through herself. She figures she was allowed to get in the first time, so she's going to get in. And cool little scene in the as she's going through the hex or and going into the Nexus, which is really what it's called. We see the different decades of her. Mm-hmm. You see the 60s version. You see the 70s version. You see there was a clip of her, I think, as a child. You see like four or five different versions of her breaking through.
I thought I saw her mom there, too. Was I mistaken?
No, you saw her mom. But then you also heard the overlapping of Brie Larson's Captain Marvel. She was talking. You hear some of the dialogue from the movie. And you also will hear Nick Fury talking, if you hear him. You know, I think it's the scene from the diner. I know you haven't seen the movie, but one time. But there's a scene in the dining room where he makes a comment as they're all sitting around. He's like, "Yeah," he's like, "you know, it's your mom." Or no, that was Brie Larson said, "You know, your mom gave you strength, and you, for you to be there, or you're the one that gives your mother strength." And then Nick Fury makes kind of a similar comment about it. Mm-hmm. So we see the transformation of what we assume is going to be her Spectrum character.
Yep.
You know, she even had the suit underneath the armored suit that she was wearing, very similar to
the Photon suit.
That's Photon, not Spectrum. No, there's Photon and Spectrum are two different characters. No, she's going where I looked online. A lot of folks are going Spectrum because of she saw the Spectrum when she came out. Her eyes were different, and she saw the Spectrum of the world around
everything.
Her.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of folks are thinking it's Spectrum and not Photon. But then if you look at the coloring of the suit, not the design, but the coloring was very reminiscent of the first Captain Marvel and a little bit of the Spectrum.
Yeah. So I guess in a way, Wanda gave her her powers then.
That was a theory of not that Wanda gave her her powers. I think Wanda activated some of
something.
Because there was something you and I talked about years ago when the snap happened, and we were talking about, God, you know, what are they going to do before we even got Endgame? We're like, man, what are they going to do? Then we started, you know, spitballing about the X-Men and how this, and we made a comment. You and I kind of spitballed it around. What if coming back from the snap triggered something in those certain people's DNAs? And then, but they lied dormant. And then with her being around the energy of the Nexus and of Wanda,
that kind of activated that dormant gene
to where it gave her her powers. So it's not Wanda. Wanda triggered it, but it was there because of the snap. It could also have been there. You know, another one you said was, you know, what if, you know, Monica's mother got cancer for being around Captain Marvel? And, you know, we had that talk. But what if something was there because of Captain Marvel, and then it got activated because of Wanda? There's, you know, I don't think Wanda triggered the whole thing. I think something was already changed in her, and there we still have to understand. We still have to figure out what is she so mad about with Wanda, or not with Wanda, but with Captain Marvel.
Yeah, well, we're gonna find that out pretty soon in Captain Marvel 2. Yeah. So that's gonna be the basis of it, I believe.
Well, that Wanda, like I said, I think this is a launching point for Captain Marvel 2, and then for Doctor Strange 2.
I was not looking forward to Captain Marvel 2, but now after seeing, you know, it's funny that you pepper in these characters like Monica. And now I hear that she's going to be in Captain Marvel 2, and then we're going to have Miss Marvel there. Now I'm looking forward to seeing Captain Marvel 2. Maybe I'll have to rewatch Captain Marvel again.
Well, you still need to rewatch it just to rewatch it, so you understand it. So that way, when it does come up, you have something to go off of, just not your first memory of it. Yeah. So then we've also, as we go further in, we see Wanda is just losing control of everything. It's, you know, everything's changing around her. You know, it's going back in time. It's going forward. It's like all the everything around her is just changing her. She goes to get a bowl of milk, and, you know, the bowl changes, the milk changes. I tried to see the face on the milk carton. I thought it would be kind of cool if that was somebody, but it wasn't.
I was trying to see who it was.
I didn't see anything on there. And then we see Agnes come around to help out, like she's been doing this whole time. Hey, I'm here to help you out, you know, And then because there's always been that rumor or that thought is something's going on with Agnes because she's chilled about a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, she's chilled that the kids just age 5 years right in front of her face, or 8 years or however, whatever it was. So she takes the kids. Let's Wanda have her day off, you know, and then we just see some more of it. And then we get introduced to a couple of the commercials. And I think the commercials have been Wanda's subconscious. It's
another good theory.
Think of the last one, the Nexus, the pill. She's going through depression, and you know the Nexus is. She lives in the Nexus. You know, if you know, I did some more research on some of this stuff. The Nexus is actually a room or a sort of a mid place in between the multiverse. It's like limbo to the multiverse. So where she's at now inside the Nexus may be a place inside the multiverse, like a meeting place for all the multiverses to kind of congregate. Again, that's the name and that's what they use in the books, but don't know if that's the route they're going. We know how Marvel likes to play with their toy boxes. They'll say, like, I like that name, but I'm going to make it a little different.
Yeah, and that's true. But again, not a bad theory, too. Yeah. I mean – not a bad theory at all. I mean, there's a lot of theories you can go with. But,
there's,
you know,
so many, dude. It's not even funny.
So many. I mean, you just go on Google them. There's like, I think there was something I saw on when I Googled it. It was like 100 theories about the show. It's just, it's ridiculous. So you could lose sleep reading it.
Yeah. So then we finally see Wanda finally like, you know what, I need to just get in here and I need to figure out what's going on. And she goes outside, and that's when she runs into Monica. And they have basically a soccer mom throwdown is kind of how I
calculated.
I was like, and then of course Agnes pops in and tries to, you know, help out, and she takes Wanda back to her house, sits her down, tries to get her calm. Apparently, Gabba Gabba Wee's is it in the Marvel universe now?
Yo Gabba Gabba.
I was like, what? Then Wanda starts, you know, or wondering, you know, hey, where's the kids? And she starts.
Before you go on.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to step in because I knew I was going to step over.
Did you hear that little, I guess it's a theory about Yo Gabba Gabba being there?
No, I just saw
it. Those figures are actually Marvel gods. I'm. The look on your face is priceless.
It's probably one of the articles I saw when they started talking about Yo Gabba Gabba. I just went, next. I'm not even going to entertain that idea. Yeah, no.
They're hidden in plain sight in Yo Gabba Gabba. It's awesome.
Well, I mean, we already know, you know, Stan was a watcher, so we already know that. So I think we've already had that moment, you know.
I just thought that was a little weird theory. But.
So then we see Wanda go down into Agnes's basement, and that's when we find it very dark and creepy. And we find a book off to the side, there are so many magical books in Marvel. It's hard to say. If you go back to one of your favorite shows, as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they had the Darkholm book. You know, that could be it. There's so many books. Your Necronomicon, you know, was out there as well. And then we get introduced by the best theme song ever. Of who,
by the way, that theme song has been downloaded to death.
Oh, yeah, it's a great one.
It is. I was like, this is kind of catchy. Yeah. I'm to put them in the playlist.
So, yeah, so we find out that Agnes is actually Agatha, which again, it's hinted right there. Agnes, Agatha, it's right there, but Agatha Harkness. For those of you that are not in the know of who she is in the MCU or in the comic book world, she is actually Wanda's mentor, basically. She's the one that when Nightmare, I think, made her believe that she had children, and then it went away, and Agatha was the one that made her forget about her children, who never really existed to begin with, but she made her forget about it. But she it was
something very strange. It was like they took a piece of Mephisto's soul and they had made the kids. And then, you know, Agatha got involved and like, hey, you know, Mephisto wanted the souls back. And then I guess that the kids had to be erased. It was something like that. I didn't read the whole thing, but I think that's pretty much the gist of it.
And this is like early 80s, I think. It's a long, long time ago story arc. But yeah, so we had that. It's one of those ones. It's another swerve. She's there. But is she playing the Agatha Harkness that we know, or is she playing something more sinister?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that factor. Is she, because there's so many possibilities at that point that she could be there trying to help somebody get free, or maybe she's there to help Wanda get free.
Maybe
there were so many theories I heard about the clothing. Look at the clothing that's getting worn and certain things. I was like, no, I'm not even going to bother with that.
Yeah, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Because they talked about when you see Agatha's powers, it's like a purplish, and she's always wearing kind of a purple.
I'm not going down that rabbit
hole. So then, so we basically end at that point with WandaVision, of course, in the credits roll, and we get our very first mid-credit scene for an MCU television series where we see Monica wandering outside trying to figure out what's going on. She finds the storm cellar doors, opens them up, about ready to enter in, and then Quicksilver pops by. And
where the peepers get popped?
Peepers get popped, or something like that. And then that's where we're left hanging. My theory about Quicksilver, he's not either one. He's not Mephisto. I don't think he's Nightmare. I think he's something that she has created. And she's aware because, again, like I said, they're in the Nexus. They're aware and connected to all the multiverses. So maybe she just like, hey, that's a good, that looks like a good Peter.
Yeah.
And brought him in. I hope not. Me personally, I hope this is a crossover, a way of crossing over to saying, hey, that X-Men universe did exist. And
that'd be cool. Yeah. I mean, you don't bring Evan Peters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't bring him in just for, you know, little cameo, because I don't think Aaron Taylor Johnson is going to come back. He's dead.
Disney and MCU. You know, they can just do it just to fuck with us. I mean, really,
they're fucking with us now.
But then there's still the talk that there's a actor that is supposed to be on the show that Paul Bettany is. But has always been wanting to work with. So we haven't gotten that moment yet. So again, we got two more episodes left. They were told us that the last three were an hour long. This one was 37 minutes. You clarified me on that one last night.
Yep, 37. I think the next two are supposed to be an hour each.
They said this one was supposed to be an hour each. So,
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Felt like an hour, I think, because of the two commercials in the middle. Like normally it's just the one. This one it was two. Actually, I think that one kind of threw me for a loop. I was like, that's why I was like, oh, it feels like an hour. But it's just so much story going on in it. It's great.
Well, they're going to have to wrap it up now. They got two episodes left, yeah. And we'll see where it goes.
Again,
we'll see
where it goes. Think about a two-hour movie, man. There's so much you can do in a two-hour movie. They've got the same. Yep. You got the same amount of time. Well, not full 2 hours. You got to get the 7 minutes of trailers, which everybody was bitching about online.
Yeah, we'll bitch about everything nowadays.
So, but yeah, that's where it is now. Another thing for Marvel Studios that's just dropped just yesterday, 18th. So on Friday, Marvel now has the rights. Netflix has just lost the rights to Jessica Jones and The Punisher. It's now rolled over to them. It's official that they have just dropped those rights. So something to look forward to.
Yep, you'll see them. I think you'll see them very soon, sooner than later.
Yeah. Well,
you said, they're already written. They're already done. Yeah. They're out there. Yeah. You don't need to do intro or anything. They're there. You just throw them anywhere you want now.
Well, we already do know Christopher Cox for Daredevil. He is in the Spider-Man movie. We do know via rumor so far, and a pretty reliable one, that Jessica Jones is supposed to be involved in
She-Hulk.
So, I mean, there is that coming up.
Hey, it makes the most sense. These characters are already established. Just throw them in. So you do. Tell Kristen Ritter to get the leather jacket out from her closet, pop it back on, and get the boots, get the whiskey, and
I think that's what she's doing on her time off, just hanging out, you know, drinking. that's how I see her. drinking and wearing the leather jacket, you know.
Leather jacket. I'm just waiting for that phone call.
Make sure you guys do this week. There's a new DC show coming out this week on Tuesday. We've got a Superman and Lois dropping
near to your heart. So
yeah, I am looking forward to that. So you definitely have that debuting on Tuesday.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Definitely. Yeah. It's if you guys don't have CW for whatever reason, you can catch it the next day on their app and it'll be there. That's where I'll probably catch it the next day ahead and watch that. So what do you have for news? Since we kind of burned up a lot of time with those.
This one kind of threw me for a loop and I saw it and I'm like, wow. Wednesday Addams takes center stage in a new Netflix live action series.
Yes.
It doesn't say when it's going to be released, but it's basically a series about Wednesday Addams. I do, and it's directed by your buddy and mine, Tim Burton. So I was like, really? I mean, the poster first shows her basically playing with some kind of a cello and a knife in the background, using for the stick. And so I don't know if we're going to – I don't think we're going to be doing young Wednesday. Might be adolescent Wednesday, teenage, maybe young woman Wednesday. So I just found that interesting. Like, okay, you know, it's one I wasn't expecting, but I might have to check it out. I'm a big Addams Family guy, so.
Yeah, as much as I love Christina Ricci, I'd love to see her come back and approach the role. But I understand when you're doing a new show, you're wanting to capture the youth audience. So teen, 20, in their 20s, you know, go kind of maybe the route a little bit older than the Sabrina the Teenage Witch for Netflix, since they just dropped that. Mm-hmm. You know, you do have that. And it is done by Miller, Goy. I mean, the guys that pretty much have done, you know, pretty much every, you know, they started off on Smallville and done so many great, you know.
Yeah, Algo and Miles Millar's Pitch.
Yeah. Those are the showrunners right now. So it's probably going to have Tim Burton's name, just very similar to how Nightmare Before Christmas says Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. The only thing that was Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas was the concept. And the art design, it was actually directed by somebody else. That's one of those things. So I kind of think you're going to get this kind of the same thing. He's going to be, hey, this is the show idea. This is where I think we need to go. I think he's going to kind of be the Kevin for this environment. Hey, this is where I want you to go. But you guys can, you know, you guys write how to get from A to B.
Yeah,
I'm not telling you how to get there.
Give an overall plan. Hey, this is what I'm thinking. Yeah. But, you know, you guys fill in the blanks. So.
Yep.
It'll be interesting. Like I said, I liked Sabrina when it came on. People have been telling me like for a while to watch Riverdale. I haven't broken down and watched it just yet, but I might start dipping my toe in that Riverdale dance pretty soon.
Like I said, it's pretty decent. I enjoyed it. It's if you compare the original Sabrina to how dark the new one is, think of that the same way with Archie. Take what original Archie was and level it up to that side of dark. When I say dark, I don't mean dark as in witchy kind of dark, but like darker, more adult oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see
what you got.
trying to get there. Your stuff just froze. Why don't you go ahead to your next one? I know that's the one that just popped up and it just vanished on me.
It did?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead for your next one.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got, actually, it's a rumor here. Star Wars rumored to be casting Aladdin's, I'm going to butcher this name, guys, Menia Mossyoud as Ezra Bridger for the Ahsoka series. The upcoming Ahsoka series from the Kessel Run Transmissions. There's just a rumor that it'd be interesting to see of Masoud's involvement. Just rumor, nothing is a for certain right now, but you know, we've been talking here for a while about when and where we're going to see Ezra Bridger next. And, you know, like I said, I know him from Aladdin. He's a decent actor, and I could see him being an older Ezra. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely could see that. That's the – I'm looking forward to that. I just – the only thing is if they're going to pick up with going to the Ahsoka series and this show, it's just recently that that's happened. Like literally the moment she leaves in Mandalorian, Ahsoka leaves in Mandalorian, she goes and it basically transitions to the very last 5 minutes or 3 minutes of Rebels. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think Ezra aged that much. So that's the only thing that might be a little weird is that it's just the age up. So that would be my only concern. I think it would be great. Yeah, you were right. He was great in Aladdin. I think he would knock it out of the park as Ezra.
I mean, it's like I said, just rumor right now. Nothing is confirmed, but as the choice, he's not bad. I could see him being an older Ezra. But like you just said, you know, did he age that quickly from the end of Rebels to now? It depends what time that Ahsoka series is going to be. Is it going to be further in the future? Are we going to go back to the past? I don't know. Yeah. Nothing has been mentioned yet, but you know, never a bad thing to add talent, over, as we always said around here. So
definitely not. Now I've got a couple of comic book news oriented things that we really not much has come out for comic books. You know, we've talked about Future State and things like that, but nothing like major has come out.
Which I call garbage state. Sorry, guys.
You're not a fan.
Not a fan, guys.
This is coming from a Sci-Fi Wire. Actually, the Hellspawn Abound. McFarlane announces the launch of Spawn's universe this summer.
I saw that and his video on IG, and you talk about something that was not expected.
No. I thought he was resting on his laurels. He was doing his toy line, doing this, doing that.
Yeah.
McFarlane's just still kicking it at, you know, and moving.
Man,
and
he is. I mean, first off, the figures that he's made for the new DC multiverse, I mean, I think we're sold. Like, just like the amount of accuracy they have in those films, and now to see him going back to Spawn again, mm-hmm. I mean, just
yeah. So, well, Spawn just hit its what 1,000th run like last year, late last year, early last year. I think it hit its that just before lockdown. I was out at a comic book store with one of our friends, Steve-O, and he owns the first, and he's like, oh, the 1,000th. So he picked up, you know, so that he had, you know, one, two with that. You know, he doesn't have all of them. He's not a Spawn collector, but he just wanted, you know, for collection purposes.
So he's read the first and the 1,000.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's all he's got. But I think it was a cool idea. He's a collector, not so much a lover of the material inside, but he's a collector of that way.
We all have our different quirks, man.
But that's how he is. He's always liked to collect things. He and eBay have a very, very close relationship with each other. So, but yeah, no, I was excited to hear about this. I was like, man, that'd be awesome. I've kind of drifted away from Spawn, and I think this would be a good thing to bring me back around.
Yeah, they're going to re-release a couple of things, and you never know. You can open up a new audience to Spawn. So that's McFarlane's baby, and he wrote him for all time's sake, and now he's bringing him back. And
yeah, exactly.
You know, why not?
He's coming back. I mean, he has turned the writing and stuff like that over to other folks, let them, you know, to run the ship for a little bit. But he's always been kind of the one, because he went over to the toy line, started doing this toy line. He has been trying to work and getting Spawn out. Another movie out for it. So, I mean, he's still working his magic. And if anybody has not seen it, please watch it. It came out last year. Just this retrospect about Image and about McFarlane and just what a worker he is. His work ethic is just ridiculous. And just watch those documentaries. There's multiple of them out there. I think one's on Tubi. I think the one for Image is on Tubi. But there's a couple that came out, I think, on Sci-Fi last year. Were just, like, perfect.
Yeah, he's McFarlane is still running, man. He's still going. Mm-hmm. He's still going, putting some stuff out, putting cool things. And I'm glad for him, because a couple of years ago, before he, you know, his figure stuff, he was kind of like in the wind. He wasn't doing much. Now he got the figure lines. He got this. That movie, I guess, is still happening. Yeah. So,
well, he was always doing something. He just wasn't getting. He was just wasn't in the press.
He wasn't about it. He was more in the background.
Don't say he wasn't working, because his ass was always working. But another drop in the comic book world, and something I'm kind of interested in, and I don't know. It's one of those things I didn't think I wanted until I heard about it. But coming from DC, the worlds of Richard Donner's Superman and Tim Burton's Batman are finally getting a comic book treatment.
Interesting.
Yeah. Looks really good.
I think I might have to pick those up.
Yeah. The only one I've seen so far are the test, like the samples of Batman, like, and it looks great. Looks like they are definitely borrowing from Prince's video, the Bat Dance on the design. Yeah. I'm assuming this is going to take place after the movies. Like kind of like a Smallville season 11, how that was.
I think it's going to take after the second movie. I'm just assuming, they haven't said, but it's in that universe. So, yeah.
And so I'm
down with it.
I could definitely see the Prince inspired Jokers as being kind of a Joker gang, like the beginning of the Jokers. Cause somebody I was reading, like, oh, they're making Joker look like Prince. I go, no, I think they're just going to be the gang, you know, paying homage to the Joker and doing bad things in his name and, you know, his memory. I saw one thing of Superman flying over Metropolis, but it was just a redrawing of the cover of the poster with Reeves flying towards you with Metropolis in the background. That's all it was. But I'd be very interested to see how that does, who's working on it. And but yeah, because I'm a big fan of those. And again, it's just one of those things I never thought I would really was wanting to get, but to actually get those. I think it'll be great. So yeah, look for them. I don't see if we have a drop that there's going to be.
I didn't see the release.
Here it is. They're coming out July 27th. New chapters will follow for following 6 weeks. So if you're, it's going to be a 12 chapter story in 6 issues between August and October. Then a hardcover edition will be is planned for November. So it's a small mini series. I don't know if they're going to be crossing over. I think that would be awesome.
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
But it's going to be called Batman 89 and then Superman 78 is what the titles are. So look for them. The imagery for the Batman is just sick. It's a play. It's literally the beginning of the original Batman movie where the two thugs are on there. And you see him like come down out of the rafters, and his wings are out. That's basically what it is, with steam coming up behind him. I mean, it's just beautiful.
I love that. Great scene, by the way. Oh, can't wait till we get there.
So, what else you got there?
My final thing that I got this week actually just came out of nowhere. Andy Muschietti, he had a I'm not sure if you saw the video, but he had a actress on there with the name of Sasha Kelly. And basically, he's sitting there and he's talking to her. He's like, "Hey, Sasha, how you doing? Pretty good. What's wrong, Andy?" And he's like, "Well, I just want to ask you a couple things." He's like, "Can you fly?" She's like, "What do you mean? Can I fly? I mean, do you like to go?" He's like, "No, I can't fly." I go, "Do you want to fly?" He's like, "Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to do any part. You know, what does he mean?" Then he goes over gently, brings up the S Superman suit, which looks like the Henry Cavill suit, and he's like, "Go. Sasha, what do you think about being Supergirl?" And she just starts breaking down, crying. I was almost crying. She was like, "God damn, this is great." But anyway, just to say, Sasha Kelly has been cast as Supergirl for the upcoming Flash movie, which literally came out, again, out of nowhere. Yeah. I didn't think she was even on the radar. I mean, you heard rumors of her being in the DCEU for a lot of stuff. But now we got it. We have our movie version of Supergirl now, and a photo that you showed me with her side by side with Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
It looks like they could be cousins.
Yeah.
So,
they look really good.
Yeah. You're gonna go, I don't know, but if they wanted to go there, they could go there.
Yeah. So, and it was great, because this is Melissa's last year on Supergirl for the CW. And she actually sent her a Twitter out. I don't know if you saw it or not,
but yeah, I saw that,
she
yeah.
said, you know, welcome to the family, and we need more Supergirls. I thought that was like awesome. She's like, you know, I've done my time. Yeah, I'm sure she's a little, you know, I'm sure everybody's got that little, you know, pride in there. Like, man, I would have been great if I could have done that. But she's, I'm sure she's already set up. I think she's, Melissa just signed a deal with Warner Brothers.
Yeah, she's got her own production.
Yeah, she's got her own production. So I'm sure she's all set, ready to go. But yeah, I just thought that it was great to see that nod and then the passing of the cape in a way, you know, to say, hey, you're, you know, welcome.
Yeah, it's a cool thing, man.
But everything I've heard about Melissa has been that she's just this this perfect child, you know, when it comes to the being in the movies,
America's sweetheart type of thing. So, like,
what we see on screen in her person, that is literally her on set. Kevin Smith will always rave and gush over her.
Oh, yeah, always do. But you know, she's like I said, this is her last year in Supergirl. Hopefully, she goes out with a bang. I could see her being like, you know, cameo down the road if you know the CW is still around. But
Or
like you said, she did her time.
Or we get a great crossover like we did with The Flash, and we see the two Supergirls together.
Oh man, that'd be kind
of
cool. That'd be really cool.
So sticking in the CW, did you see who's going to be coming to Stargirl next year or next season?
John Wesley Shipp
will be
coming back as Golden Age Flash.
Awesome,
which makes all the sense in the world. I'm glad they did. There's not going to be another Golden Age Flash. Yeah, you have, you literally have. Is he Barry Allen or is it Bart Allen?
For the other world. I don't remember on that one.
I don't think they ever said his name. There's today Flash or whatever. Maybe they did. I don't remember that. But yeah, he's coming as Golden Age Flash. That's gonna be fun. That's gonna be only in a flashback. But you never know. Maybe he'll be in the current timeline. But it just confirms now that Stargirl show is part of the CW now. If it wasn't before, now it clearly is. So
yeah, that's the thing. We always knew it was part of that because I think there was even mention of that group over off to the side. I think they even made the comment about, hey, you know, the those people over in, you know, Central City doing whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there was definitely a reference to that. It's been, again, whenever it came in, it came out last year just before lockdown. It was the last time I watched it. I haven't gotten a chance to rewatch it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll be fun. It's going to be fun. So I can't wait for that.
Me either. Now, last bit of news coming from DC again. There's new works, and we've been hearing about this with J.J. Abrams. He's taking over doing doing the HBO Max DC series. When I say series, a plural of series. Obviously, he's one of the big ones that you and I have always loved, and we can't wait to see. I'm just scared because of whose hands it is in right now. You okay over there?
Yeah. What the hell was that?
getting a Sasquatch running through your room again?
I don't know. I do live out in the sticks.
I'm wondering.
Sorry, guys. I mean, I don't know what that was.
We do know, you know, we are getting Justice League Dark coming out. And of course, like I said, JJ is running it. I'm a little nervous in the hands of him. He's done some things in the past, but they are looking at right now the new Constantine series is in the works with a recast of Constantine. I understand I'm a Matt Ryan fan, hands down. I thought he did
it's gonna be different. We knew that. It's kind of like the whole thing with the Sandman series, and when they recasted Lucifer, it was never gonna be Tom Ellis's Lucifer in that world. Yes, he's part of it, but it's a different version. So, of course, this world of Sandman has to have their Lucifer. So
right. I thought I had saved the article about who was suggested. I'm trying to remember what movie the gentleman had been in. It was an Indian gentleman. And they were thinking about using him for Constantine. And I just like, I don't. This is one of those times I'm going to stick to my guns about who and what type of character, what ethnicity should be this character. It definitely should be a white person. Oh, there it is. Riz Ahmed from Rogue One. Yeah. He was a pilot. Yeah, and I'm just, it's no. Nothing. Nothing against. I'm not saying the guy can't do this. There's John is a British snob punk rocker, white guy, blonde hair. You know, it's, and this is one
snarky
of
the attitude.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is one
I
of those.
I can't see Riz doing it, man. No. I just don't see it. Riz is more dramatic.
We don't know what direction they're going, though. I mean, that's, You got to think the origin of Constantine is pretty fucking dramatic. You know, the Newcastle, is it Newcastle? That everything that happened there, that's some dramatic acting. If they're going to like revisit that throughout this Justice League Dark and some of his origin, there's got to be some weight to it.
I'll tell you what, when they do this series, they should begin with the Newcastle incident. That's the way I would do, because we've heard about the Newcastle incident so many times on the CW, and then I don't think the Keanu Reeves where they had any kind of Newcastle incident. But if you guys have read about the Newcastle incident, it's pretty fucked up, and it kind of like, you know, basically sends Constantine on his way.
I don't think they need to do it. It's one of those.
I think it'd be kind of fun though if they did.
We've seen it though. We've seen it in the animated. Well, I don't think we've seen it. I don't. Yeah, we have.
We've heard about it.
No, we've seen it in the City of Demons. They City of Demons. They cover it pretty heavy. So it's one of those moments that you really need it to be written out and seen for you. Me, that's one of those ones. I don't need to see it. Tell the story. Okay. Give us the mystery. That's one of the things with Constantine. There's this mystery behind him. What happened? What is so bad that drove this messed up man to go that route and to be what he is? You know, that's the one thing. And this is the perfect timing, too, for if they really want to push, the culture of, you know, having a bisexual man or a gay man or trans person playing a character. This is the time, because John is bi. Mm-hmm. You know, he is very open. And that's one of the things I loved in Legends of Tomorrow. You know, they addressed that and showed it. And again, one of the best things about Legends is that cast is not the cast themselves, but the characters are bi or gay, lesbian, and they don't rub it in your face. It's just
it's just a fact.
It's just there. They don't wave any. Go look at us. Look what we're doing. I'm sleeping with a woman now, or I'm with a guy. Like John, I think in one episode he went from a man to a woman. You know, so it's like it's just what it is.
It's just there. It's like you said, they're not beating that drum or waving that flag. It's just there, and it's just okay, cool. This is what you were giving me. I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it. So let's just freaking move on.
And I think they should do kind of the same thing with the series. And again, it's JJ. I know he's amazing at setting up a world, a new world.
But he's not a good finisher.
He's not a finisher. Yeah, sorry.
I'm not trying to be. You got to finish strong. Yeah, I got to watch what I say.
I know.
I shouldn't even touch that. But you want to be able to finish what you started, and he hasn't done that.
Yeah.
And especially recently with, you know, The Rise of Skywalker. I mean, you could hear any of our older episodes and how I feel about The Rise of Skywalker and how I felt it was a huge letdown for me, you know. And but let's just hope this time, like I said, he has his name involved in this. Maybe he's not going to write it. He'll have somebody else do it and just be over.
Maybe he'll just simply be a showrunner and say, hey, listen,
hey, you guys, here's my idea. And make it happen.
I want A, B, C, and D to happen. I want us to end the show on D. But you guys make us – you guys are the ones that are responsible for getting us through the story. And then I'm put the
pillars, everything else in the middle. You do.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully that's what Rowdy does. I mean, again, I think what he's done, I thought some of the best movies, like the starting of them, the best series. I thought I liked what he did, you know, the changes he did on Star Trek. Mm-hmm. But the ending and how it drifted a further away, Star Wars the same way. I'm not a Lost watcher, but I've heard some choice words from some Lost fans.
I like how you said that, but well done. Some choice words.
I can't speak to it because I've never watched them. So
neither have I. I was never a Lost guy neither. So it's
just, I think when it was on, I was working at evenings, so I like a lot of my television time. We always, you know, spent, you know, doing that, and it was pre DVR, so it was I had to rely on my flashing light VCR to catch what I could. But like I said, I hope they do some great good casting. I'm just not with Riz. I just nothing against him. I thought he was great in Rogue One. I don't see him as a Constantine.
Neither do I.
You know, there was recently Daisy Ridley was talking about wanting to jump in and do something, and I just don't see her in that role. I'm trying to remember what the role was.
She was Spider-Woman.
Thank you, Spider-Woman. Yeah, I don't see her as a Jessica. I'm sure she can change the accent. You know, great actors, especially great British.
Honestly, I would like her to be another character. I don't want her to be Spider-Woman. She could be anything else. I want to see her as a villain. I mean, tell him about stretching the old acting chops. Get her to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, throw her in the MCU or DC. I mean, get her out there. I'm sure she's tired of being.
She's a Disney. She's a Disney baby. She's gonna kick in that world for a little bit, I think.
I'm just a thought. You know, throw her out there. Maybe she could play. What's her name? Magician girl.
For which
Constantine's
one?
Girlfriend.
Oh, Zatanna.
Maybe she can play Zatanna. That's maybe. Not a bad choice.
Possibly, yeah. But yeah, so. there's just options. I just, well, when I saw about, you know, Spider-Woman, I was like, yeah, I'm sure you would love to do that, but I...
You really want to be Spider-Woman? It's just like, you don't have... I mean, no offense to the Spider-Woman fans, but, you know, to me, kind of like a C-level character. So I just... I don't know. I just don't see it.
No, because she may be a fan.
Again, I don't know.
She may be a fan. She might be, you know, have grown up reading Spider-Woman. To her, that's not a C-level character. You know, you got to realize, you know, for us, Constantine to us is not really treated as a – some people would think him as a C-level character. I know he's not a, you know, part of the Holy Trinity, but he's definitely B-level or B-plus to us because we're fans.
Yeah. But to other people, yeah, he could be like a C.
And Jessica is definitely, you know, to a certain group, yeah, she's – she's up there, you know, because she is Spider-Woman, you know, when you really look at it. But, yeah, there's talks of her getting her own stuff, too. So, all right, guys. Yeah. Well, that is the end of Heroes Asylum for today. We've covered a lot. And hopefully next week we don't have any big trailers and we can actually delve into some more stuff. Next week, hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers. My schedule permits it. I just got True Believers, the Rise and Fall of Stan Lee. I'm hoping I can give you guys a review next week about that because I was reading the book review about it and they delve into some darker sides of Stan and some of the heavier truths about what he has done and what he, you know, what he did in the business. So crossing my fingers, that's my focus in books right now. I've busted out two books last week or ended two books last week, so I'm freed up. So. But yeah, so hopefully I can give you guys a quick review on that if anybody would be interested down the road reading it.
I've seen that around, so I'd definitely be interested.
Yeah, it was in my wish list since last year when it was announced. I just finished up the Malazan, the first book of Malazan, The Gardens of Moon, and I'm just wrapped up the first, or almost done. Sorry, I'm almost done with the first of the High Republic.
I have to go to Acme this week. I gotta start picking up some new reading material. I haven't had it in a couple months. I've been it's a little bit of a metal hangover, so I just gotta.
Yeah. Well, don't forget,
I gotta get back.
The new next week, I think the new Milestone comes out. I think the Milestone
starts.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah. That's definitely.
So, yeah, definitely. You know, if you're going to go out, you know, check that and see. All right, guys. Well, make sure you go check us out here on Heroes Asylum. You can see us at our whether you're on watching us or in the podcast. You enter below the description of the show. You'll see all the links to getting on to our pod page, where you can subscribe to us on any of your chosen listening methods, as well as we have the latest midnight movie that's coming out this week, which will be Hancock. And what else? What new one?
We're doing a review.
No, not that.
You're doing the new ones?
No. What other podcast do you have that's brand new?
I was going to get there first. Guys, check out episode 2 of Low Blows and Chair Shots with yours truly and Hot Shot. That'll be, I think it's already dropped. Check it out. We have a fun time on there. And before we get out of here, I want to let you know of our sponsor we have for the show, because she's bugging me about it. So I got to say it. It's called paparazziaccessories.com. It's run by a friend of ours and Mike's, Brandy Marie Tyndall. I saw the stuff last night. If you guys or gals are into jewelry and stuff like that, I got to admit, I didn't think they were going to be as good as I saw, but it's really cool stuff, affordable prices. If you like jewelry and necklaces and rings and stuff like that, they got a lot more stuff for women. The guy side is building up, but I saw it last night. It's really good stuff. Really good stuff. You want to accessorize yourself, some bracelets, some rings, some cool necklaces. I have a cart full of stuff that I'm going to order. So I'm definitely going to appease that one, but check her out. It is paparazziaccessories.com. And Brandy Tyndall, that's her name. She's got an email here. It's called brandytyndall@yahoo.com. She'll answer all your little questions. Check it out. Good website, easy to go through. And if you like it, order it and give her a ring. She's a good rep, so check it out.
All right, guys. So make sure you guys do check us out throughout the week. And I hope you guys have a great week. And check out the Facebook page. We got a bunch of fun stuff coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And where else can they see us, King?
Twitter at @TheHeroesAsylum_podcast, Instagram @TheHeroesAsylum. Check out Low Blows and Chair Shots episode 2. And as always, from Mike from me to you, get to the asylum!